Just right now on the Gabriel Pizza Hotline, we say good morning and hello to Sens Chief Scout Trent Mann. How are you doing this morning, Trent?
Good morning. How are you doing?
Excellent. Really appreciate you joining us. I understand you're back home. Is that right?
I did get back home last night. Yes.
Nice.
Yes. So a few things to clean up in the post-draft, but can do that from a distance.
How does a man who spent the last however many months, and especially in the last few couple of weeks and days, decompress from what you went through on Friday night and then most of the day Saturday?
Well, I don't know how much decompression will take place. You know, just, like I said, there's a few things to clean up here post-draft and some, you know, some people in-house with the Sens organization that we need to have discussions with. So we're clear on you know, what we have and what we've acquired and what needs to be done moving forward with those players. And then next weekend, leave for Helenka. So no rest for the wicked.
So you've had some time to digest, and you know, you're not oblivious to what's going on in the world of social media, for however much you take any, you know, information that's out there on that and take it seriously is obviously a personal thing. But now that you've had a chance to look back at your draft, how do you feel? You know, when you look back at your list, and we're not going to go through each guy and ask you if you thought this was a good one or a bad one if you look back in retrospect, but how do you like your draft? How close was it to your list? Are you happy with what you got and the kinds of players that you want now that you had a couple of days to absorb it?
Yeah, no, once you sit back and you look at it, I think that we've addressed a lot of needs, and we've added some depth within the organization. And, you know, like I continually say, like, our job is to continue to pick players that are going to push from underneath and force anyone above them to be better, or if not, then these players will take their places. And ultimately, that's what we want. We want internal competition, and we think we did that with this draft. We also have certain principles and beliefs in a player that we need to have in order to pick a player, and we think we hit those targets as well. So all in all, you know what, we're pleased. We think that there's a few players that are going to be Sens down the road. It would be nice if it's all of them, but realistically, you know, we know that at some point in time, trades take place and all kinds of things go down over the next period of time. And most of these kids, you know, it's going to be, you know, 4 to 5 years before we really, really know what we have. And we'll see how this progresses. But the nice thing about these kids is that they all have time on their hands right now, moving forward, to just continue to focus on their games and their development path, and our staff will help them do that.
Sens Chief Scout Trent Mann is our guest here on TSN 1200. I think we know the answer, but when you speak of there are core principles and beliefs that you have yourself and as the Sens have as an organization in terms of the players you pick, what are those?
Well, without kind of giving away everything, if you look, and like I've said this before, I can't speak prior to me being in charge, but, since I've been in charge, our staff have had many, many conversations about this and what we believe as a group to be important pieces for a player to develop and become what their potential is. And, if you look at those players over the recent years, there is a common theme there with them. And, we do need players with high character and high work ethic and a high compete level, because that's what allows them to become the best they can be. So, obviously, there's all kinds of other factors come into play, as far as skill-wise, skating and puck skills and shot and hockey sense, in different areas of the ice. If a kid is not coachable and a kid does not want to work at it, they never become what they could become. And we feel that when we pick a player, there's a ton of chance that they can become what they, what their potential is. And at the same time, it helps the organization. So everyone seems to be on the same page, pulling in the same direction when those things happen. So we're pleased. We feel like all these players we picked continue to follow those guidelines. And on top of that, they have a skill set that we feel can help the organization.
Do you think Trent, as somebody who, you know, doesn't watch the machine, you're in the machine, do you think that one of the things that is, maybe not a problem is too great a word, but an interesting perspective is that what you or others in the machine view as skill might not be the same as what everybody outside the machine thinks it is. I think if you say a skilled hockey player, or the guy has skills, most people think that means they generate offense. But, you know, yep. As it pertains to a guy like Tyler Boucher, and I've said this for a while, and maybe I'm completely wrong, you tell me, but I've always pointed out kind of a Brian Murray perspective that being a truculent, aggressive player, that is his skill. That is a skill, and well, it shouldn't be diminished. And I think the point that I've been making for a while is the fact that 15 years ago, sure, you could go out and get Tyler Boucher and get 10 of them by noon. But the problem now is that there's not very many players who are willing or able to play that way, to be a big, aggressive player, play a truculent, no backing down kind of game. There's not a lot of guys who want to play that. Your career is generally shorter. It's harder on your body. You're hated by most other people outside your team. And now in this world of supply and demand, finding players like that has made them valuable skill players because there's just not as many as there used to be.
No, absolutely. It's one of those skills that are underrated. Now, obviously, there has to be some other skills that come into that package. And a kid like Tyler Boucher, he's going to be able to score. And you know, in order to score at the NHL level, you have to be in certain areas of the ice. And if you don't want to go to those areas, then you're not successful, or you do not become what you should become. And, you know, like, you know, obviously when people think skill and everything, you know, obviously Connor McDavid's name always comes into mind as far as skill. But, you know, there's only a handful of those players out there. And you know, we have to build a team that, you know, obviously we don't have a Connor McDavid, and so there's a different way of building, and we're not building around Connor McDavid. We're building, you know, more, I guess, a well-rounded group that that's going to be able to, you know, to produce on any given night. And we just don't want, you know, to rely on Tyler Boucher to be able to score every night. But you know, we talked about this when we drafted Brady Kachuk. At the time, we felt like the Ottawa Senators needed that in-house to start, you know, that rebuild of where we were going. And, you know, and he only had 8 goals or whatever it was at college, and he couldn't score, and he had no skills. But lo and behold, you know what? I don't know. If you ask 31 teams in the NHL if they want Brady Kachuk right now in a trade, I believe they probably would say, yes, please, let's talk about that, you know? So you know, like, and there's other players, you know, like, you know, that play that way in house that are going to be hard players to play against and can produce offense. I'm not concerned about that. It's just the package that they have is going to allow us to be able to produce offense, and at the same time, we're going to be able to make a statement to other teams that, you know, the Ottawa Senators are coming and they're going to score against us, and they're going to pound on us pretty hard here, and are we ready for that? Can we match that? And that's a difficult thing to do, and you know what? You know, it doesn't matter what position we talk about. You know, like the Tampa Bay Lightning win the Stanley Cup back to back years, and you go on the back end and you look at their defensemen. Turnak, for example. You know, like, I don't know if you view him as a skilled guy or not, but he has a skill set that he wins pucks and he moves pucks up ice to forwards. And, you know, you need those guys. You know, like, there's very few defensemen that are playing, you know, like the high octane offense, that they do it all alone, you know. Even those guys need certain defensemen to partner with them to allow them to be at their best. And so, you know, like, I mean, for us, we've looked at this, we've researched this, we've looked at teams that have had success and why they've had success. Like, there's a lot more that's going into these picks than just we pulled them randomly off of the list, you know?
Trent Mann, Chief Scout of the Sens, is our guest. So, Trent, you've now finished running your 5th draft since you became a Chief Scout. I think, by and large, the perspective of the industry is the picks under you have been very good, that Ottawa has a nice pipeline of talent, and we'll see it play itself out to be sure over the next you know, 2 or 3 years how many of these guys turn out to be NHL players. Would the Trent Mann who ran his first draft in 2017 been confident enough to go off the board, I'll use that in air quotes, you know, from industry consensus about a player like Tyler Boucher as Trent Mann is in 2021?
Probably not. You know what? If I'm 100% honest, probably not. I mean, I think that year Drake Batherson was probably about as off the board as we went that year. So you dabble a little bit and you see how, you know, how it works out and why it works out and why you wanted to do that. And as a staff, we reviewed that all of a sudden you're looking for certain things in a player, and when you see it, you start to become a little more confident that, you know what, we're on the right path here, this is right, this fits what we need here in Ottawa, and let's pull the trigger on this player and not worry about, you know, who's behind. If we feel this is the player that suits us best at the time, then we have to do that. And I think over time, you can take the popular players, but it doesn't necessarily mean that it all kind of gels together to be a winning team. And right now, the focus for Ottawa is, we need to start winning more, and we need to be more consistent. And, eventually, everybody wants to win the Stanley Cup. So, and that's our goal as well.
Trent, in the war room, when you guys were all sitting together, obviously you're looking at your next picks, but where, you're in the business, you're hockey guys. Were you as surprised in the war room as we were in our war room when we were broadcasting the thing and everybody else with Montreal's first pick? Were you guys surprised by that like we were?
You know what? I guess not completely surprised. I mean, we were aware that some teams were just not going to go there and some teams were willing to. And I guess if they were willing to, they understood everything that was going to come with that. That's a tough one. I come from a school background as a high school administrator. So I feel for the kid. I feel for the young lady in Sweden, because it's not a nice scenario for either one of them. You just kind of hope that moving forward, both of them can kind of make some things positive moving forward and write a different story. If you talk about the ability of the player, then I guess it's not a shock. I guess it's just all the other pieces that come, with that story, that whether you're willing to go there or not.
Trent, you have 11 picks for the 2022 draft. And I know you're working on 2021. You're also working, you're looking at 2022 as well. Just as an overall, how would you assess next year's draft?
Well, I think the depth overall will be better than this year. And I think, there's a lot that goes into that too. Not just the fact of the first time eligible draft players, as far as the amount of them and the quality, but also there's going to be some players that haven't played hockey here over the last year or so that are going to become players, and they just need an opportunity to show a little bit more. And so this year, I would expect the next year's draft that there'll be some players that are older that will get taken in these drafts and become good players. They need opportunities, and hopefully we'll cross our fingers that that'll move forward in the fall like we're expecting it to. But there'll just be a bigger lot of players to pick from. And so we feel like we have work cut out for us again next year, because there's going to be a lot more players to have to track, I believe.
Trent, drafting and player development go hand in hand. You can't have a successful team without those two being together. So I want to ask a couple of quick questions about drafts you've already made. Has a decision been made yet, either by the player or the organization, as to where Merrill Lainen might play this year? Is he going to come over and play in Kingston? Or is he going to stay in Finland and play U20 there? Has there been a decision there by either him or the club?
Yes, I mean, all indications are that he'll play in Kingston at this point in time. I believe there's been enough conversations and negotiation back and forth that all indications are he'll play in Kingston. Until he's, on the soil in Kingston and in the hands of Corey Cooper, you don't know. We don't know, obviously, until that happens. But the all indications are he'll play in Kingston this year, and obviously, great opportunity. I mean, that's the selling feature right there. There's a team that, are looking to make a statement in the OHL this year, and we feel the opportunity for Levy is excellent. he'll have an opportunity to be a part of it and be an important piece of it if that's how it works out come late August.
Maybe some people don't realize, but part of the process of developing players, it's not all AHL to NHL. You got to have an East Coast League team to kind of have the whole system move up. Have you guys buttoned anything down with the new East Coast League affiliate yet?
Yeah, right now there's some things moving forward. I don't want to make a statement. I think that's probably more for management, but it looks like there's something in the works there that's gonna work out well for us. And you know, obviously we'll have some players that we need a spot for them to play, and you can't, you know, they can't get better unless they're playing. And hope, you know, like you want them to be in a good environment. It looks like that from all indications that's going to be a good setup for us. And, you know, like I said, I'll allow management to kind of confirm all that, at some point in time, but there is something in the works there that's going to work well for us, I believe.
All right, one more for you. It's a kind of, again, back to draft philosophy. When you spoke with us on Friday night, you mentioned in regards to Tyler Boucher in particular, you guys had identified right wing specifically as an organizational need, that you needed to replenish that. Did you, and I'm not suggesting he wasn't high in your list, but have you now gotten to a point where you would rather with a player fill needs as opposed to necessarily going with best player available, the adage best player available?
Yeah, you know what? I think we have to weigh that out a little bit more at this point in time, based on what the player, what's available, and what the, you know, what you choose. I guess from our standpoint, Tyler, we wanted to provide some depth on the right side, but you know, for us, it wasn't based on just the fact that he was a right winger. There was just a whole package there that kind of fit our needs at this point in time, and we felt like he had the best upside for the Ottawa Senators at that point in time. So there was no hesitation there. We were ready to pull the trigger on Tyler Boucher.
All right, good stuff. Among the 11 picks next year, there's a certain son of a certain chief scout we may be talking to right now, who is in next year's draft. Is that right, your son?
No, you know what? My son is 2 years away because he's a late birthday, December 31st birthday, so 2 years away. So he has plenty of time to work on his development path too.
How big is he now? The last time we talked to you, he was enormous.
About 6'5", 215 right now, and so he's working hard in the gym. I actually get to play dad this morning and drop him off at his workout. So looking forward to. He loves the game and looking forward to help him along if I can at any point in time. But like any young teenage boy, sometimes the voice coming from outside is always better.
Yeah, there you go. Absolutely. Listen, really.
Hold on. Yeah. Hold on, I got one more then if we're doing that. How old is Pierre Dorion's son? When's he draft eligible? That's a trickier question there. What's going to happen there?
Yeah, you know what? It's a busy in-house there. We've got Pierre Dorion's kid. We've got Sean Donovan's kid. We've got DJ Smith's kid. There's a few coming through. That I think the conversations maybe a little more difficult. We have to keep some people inside the room.
Good stuff. Trent, I know it's been a busy, it's been a busy time period, but the last few days in particular, really appreciate you joining us Friday and then again this morning. Enjoy a few days of downtime, and we'll look forward to checking with you again down the road.
My pleasure. Thank you very much, gentlemen. Have a good day.